Before we get started in today's sermon, I just want to clarify something Bob said in the opening statements. When he said, as far as Carl and Stephanie, we don't have many people like that, he meant in the world. In the church, in this congregation, we have plenty of people like that trying to get to heaven. Right? Am I right about that, Bob?
I meant to say too many.
We don't have too many of those. We need more. We want to get more, but that's exactly right. So we're glad to have Carl and Stephanie here. We hope that they're benefit to us, but more importantly, that we're able to help them. And we're here this morning to honor our God together. A couple of weeks ago, one of our guests who've been attending with us, today they're actually in New York, but was having a conversation with him, and he explained to me, as they were looking for a congregation that just wanted to serve the Lord, looking for something non-denominational, said they were having trouble trying to find something where they really felt they could fit in and be able to work. He told me, he said, normally we like to be a part of a smaller congregation, 50 to 60 people, where we can just really dig in and live life with other disciples. But they had been struggling to find a congregation in the area where they felt like they could do that. And so having passed by our building here and seeing this group of people on Livingston Avenue that just wanted to be Christians meeting here, they said, well, let's just go ahead and check them out. He told me that he said to his wife, look, you know, we'll probably walk in, we'll sit on the back row, we'll walk out, nobody will say anything to us, but let's just check them out anyway. He said just about every time they've been here, they've been one of the last ones that ended up leaving. For about 30 minutes, people talking and commenting and conversing with them. He said, here's what I've decided. I've decided that you guys are a large congregation with the heart of a small congregation. I appreciated that. A couple things I want to say about that. Number one, if you're our guest here today and you have not had that experience, we'd like for you to make sure that you fill out that on your connection card, because we want to make sure that everybody who comes in here as a guest receives that kind of welcome. And we'd like to hear back from you, whether it's been a good or a negative, however you've been received. We'd love to hear that, because we are constantly trying to get better at showing God's love to everyone who walks through these doors. So we'd love to hear from you as well. I'd like to say to the congregation, we have been purposefully working on that kind of reception and welcome. And apparently with this family, you've done a great job. And I think you are doing a great job. And I want to encourage you to keep that up. The 10-minute rule is bringing glory to God. And so let's remember that and continue. Let's continue to show that kind of welcome and reception. But as far as today's message, here's the thing that I want to say about that. It seems that folks today have presented this kind of false dilemma. A false dilemma is where you're saying that you have two choices and they are the only choices you have. Either you can be a part of a large group that can pull its resources and put its work together and do great and large works, or you can be a part of a small group that granted can't do as many of those larger works, but they can live life together. They can grow and disciple one another and help one another and know each other. What our friend who has been attending with us has just demonstrated is, in fact, there is another option. We can be a part of a large group that can do those kind of things, that can have a heart of a small group where we can live together and disciple one another and challenge one another. In fact, that's exactly what we see demonstrated by the church in Jerusalem. On the very first day, they went from 120 to about 3,000. About 3,000 responded. But notice how they related to one another. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, it says, Acts 2 verse 46, day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Here was a large group. You think 350 is large? We're talking 3,000, 10 times the size of this group. But they weren't just relating in the group. They were relating from house to house. They had the assembly, the whole group coming together. And then they had these smaller relationships from house to house. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 4, it demonstrates that the number of those who believed, just the men, was about 5,000. When you start adding wives, widows, children who are coming along with those families. We recognize that this congregation could be anywhere from 10 to 15,000 people as a part of that Jerusalem congregation. And in Acts chapter 5 and verse 42, we see the exact same relation. Every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that Jesus is the Christ, that the Christ is Jesus. The assembly, house to house. We see that the Jerusalem church was able to be a large congregation doing great work, spreading the gospel so effectively. Daily people were being brought to Christ. And yet, the heart of that small group, as Christians gathered from house to house. And what we see is the contrast between the assembly and the living room. The assembly and the living room. I want us to think about the blessings of both of those relationships. I want us to understand the great blessing of the assembly and the great blessing of the living room. Because you see, for the Jerusalem church, it wasn't either or. It wasn't, well, either I get the greatest large assembly or I get the nice small relationships in the living room. It was both and. And that's what we want to accomplish here. Before we look at these blessings, I want to share five of them with you. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Almighty God and Father in heaven, you are indeed the great God. We love you and praise your name because you are worthy. We lift you up and honor you. And we pray that you will be here in our assembly this morning, that as a group we can gather around your throne and we can sing your praises, we can open up your word, we can be inspired to go higher. We can share our resources so that we can have great kingdom impact. We can remember the army that is fighting at our side. Help us, Father, to remember that. And Father, help us in our living rooms to develop relationships with other Christians where in those relationships we have those friends who know our name, who know who we are, and we know them, and we're involved in each other's lives. Help us, Father, to accomplish both of these things so that we can bring glory and honor to you and we can draw others into your family so that you can be glorified more and more each day. We love you, Father. We thank you for loving us first. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. The first thing I hope we recognize is that in the assembly, we are reminded of the army. In the assembly, we're reminded of the army. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, it demonstrates that we are fighting a fight of faith. In Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10 through 20, it talks about the battle that we're in. And it talks about that enemy that we are facing. The devil and his minions. Those cosmic powers and authorities of present darkness and evil and wickedness. And day to day, as we're fighting those battles on the job, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, we can begin to think that we are fighting the battles alone. And it can become distressing, depressing, and discouraging. And if we make the choice that I'm just going to be involved in just a small living room type relationship, that small group, after a while, we can begin to believe that there's just not that many people who are taking this journey with us. Here we are, this small, little, tiny, isolated island in a sea of just wickedness and awfulness. But when we gather here on the Lord's Day and we look across this crowd, we are reminded there is an army that serves the Lord. We are reminded that there are more people than just us that bring honor and glory to God. We are reminded that there is an entire army that is fighting the same fight. There are folks all over our community that are praying for us, that are praying with us, that are lifting up supplications and intercessions to God on our behalf. And when we gather here on the first day of the week with this group, we are reminded we are part of an army. And isn't that wonderful? But when we look for emotional support, when we're looking for that kind of family support, in the living room, we're reminded of our family. In the living room, we're reminded we've got family. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 1, it talks about not rebuking older men, but rather speaking to them as we would fathers, and to older women as mothers, to younger men as brothers. And the implication is to younger women as sisters. We've got family. We got family that supports us and prays for us and is with us and is there in those tough and difficult moments. It's the family that walks through life together with us. The army fights the battles, but the family lives life together. There are a lot of churches that declare they are a family, but we need to understand family doesn't just spend a couple hours a week together in a large hall. Family spends time together throughout the week around the kitchen table, in the living room, spending time with one another, taking their meals together with gladness, praising God and serving Him together. And it's in those living room relationships that we develop that family. Back in the 80s, the Cheers bar became famous because you could go there and that was the place where everybody knows your name. You know what they were really singing about there in that theme song? Sometimes you want to go where everyone knows your name. What they're saying is, we want family. We want people who know us. We want people that when we walk into the room, they say, "Hey, Norm." Actually, I'm sure you want them to call your name. But you get the point. And they were looking for that family in the wrong place. But we do want to go somewhere where everyone knows our name. That doesn't happen in the army. That's not going to happen in the assembly, but it happens in the living room. And when in the living room we've got a place where everyone knows our name, then we know when we come to the army, we're in the place where somebody knows our name. What a blessing it is. When we're in the assembly, it reminds us of the army. When we're in the living room, it reminds us of our family. When we're in the assembly, we stand with one another in the presence of God. Oh, I understand that we as Christians are in the presence of God individually, but think about what's happening here this morning. As we've gathered together, voices blending, praising God, shouting His praises, singing His encouragement, praying His will together, lifting that up, opening His word and together breaking that bread of life as we hear it and we listen to it and we apply it to our lives. Standing in the presence of God. What we've got going on here, brothers and sisters, is the closest we'll get to heaven this side of it. Think about Revelation chapter 7 and verse 4. I understand that 350, in fact 10 to 15,000 would shy greatly from the 144,000 that are mentioned in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 4. Or just a few verses later in chapter 7 and verse 9, the multitudes that are uncountable standing around the throne of God singing praises to Him. Holy, 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 standing on holy ground. Let me just ask you a moment ago. When we were singing about standing on holy ground, was that powerful to you? I have to tell you, I'm one of the luckiest people in this room because at least for like 30 seconds in every assembly, I get to stand up here and listen to this. That's why I kind of walk up here before Peter's done. Wow. Guys, that's as close to heaven as we're going to get down here. Our voices as an army blending together in praise. In the assembly, we get to stand with one another in the presence of God. In the living room, we get to sit with one another in the moments of life. In the living room, we get to sit with one another in the moments of life. Because I'll tell you, it's in the living room where we truly get the opportunity to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Oh, we make announcements here. But it's in the living room where we share the sorrow of a miscarriage. It's in the living room where we share the struggle of a betrayal on the job. It's in the living room where we drape our arms over each other's shoulders and pray desperately with one another because of marital problems, because of problems with the children. And it's in the living room where we truly get to rejoice the career promotion. It's in the living room where we truly get to celebrate the spiritual victory of overcoming some sin. And it's not just these extreme issues. It's in the living room where we get to hear and heed the counsel of our brothers and sisters as we open up our hearts and we share to them what's going on in our lives. It's in the living room where we sit in those moments and say, this is where I'm living right now. Help. And somebody's there to help. It's in the living room where we can cast out our needs for prayer. And it can happen right then. You know, it's interesting to me. Churches kind of often have this culture of, I got to make sure to have an announcement made so the whole church can pray. So much so that people get absolutely irate if their announcement doesn't make it on the list. Let me ask you about this. Which do you think really is better? For your announcement to make it into a litany of dozens and maybe hundreds of announcements, most of which don't get heard, all with the promise that maybe sometime later somebody will pray for it? Or would it be better in the living room to say, guys, here's the prayer I need, and somebody right there is able to say, all right, let's pray? Which of those is better? I got to tell you, which way do you think Jerusalem handled that? 10 to 15,000 people? How many announcements do you think they would have had? Where do you think those things were done in Jerusalem? In the living room. Because that's where that kind of thing can happen. In the assembly, we stand together in the presence of God, but in the living room, we sit with one another in the moments of life. It's not either or. It's both and. We need both. In the assembly, we celebrate what God has done for all of us. As Bob pointed out in his opening statements, the main purpose we're gathered for here on the Lord's Day is to gather around this table. As 1 Corinthians chapter 11, about verse 26 tells us, we are gathered around this table to remember the body of the Lord that was broken open for us, and the blood of the Lord that was shed to cleanse us of our sins. I need that. I need that regularly. I need to remember that, because this week I have been flat in the middle of those battles. And I haven't always won. And I need to be reminded, along with you, communing with you, that here is an army that God is saving. He sent His Son to die, not just for me, but for you. And every week we gather here in this assembly to celebrate what God has done for all of us. Can we praise God for that? In the living room, we get to celebrate what God is doing for each of us. We gather here to celebrate what He's done for all of us, but it's in the living room where we celebrate what He's doing for each of us. It's in the living room where Hebrews 10:24 can really come to life, provoking one another to love and good deeds. It's in the living room where we really get to talk about, here's how I'm struggling. Here's where I'm having victory. Here's where I'm having defeat. Here's where I'm growing. It's in the living room that as we listen with one another and converse with one another and talk with one another and provoke one another and challenge one another, it's in the living room where we get to figure out, here's how God is working in each of our lives. It's in the living room where those moments of honesty and openness and vulnerability let our brothers and sisters know God is active. Yes, He has cleansed us all from sin, but I'm learning how He's working in the lives of others in the living room. In the assembly, we celebrate the sacrifice that has cleansed us from sin. In the living room, we learn what God is doing to help each of us overcome sin. It's in the living room where we find those who have gone before us. It's in the living room where we see that people have overcome and been victorious over the thing that I'm struggling with. And if God conquered it in their life, what will He do in mine? He can conquer it in mine. It's the experience, strength, and hope that we share in the living room that lets us know that God is working in each of us. In the assembly, we celebrate what God has done for all of us. In the living room, we celebrate what He's doing for each of us. In the assembly, we share our resources for greater kingdom impact. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul talked to the Corinthian church about that collection for the saints. There was the famine going on in Judea and Jerusalem, and Corinth had said, we want to share in that. We want to take part in solving that, in helping our brothers and sisters with the struggle that they're going through. And it was in the assembly that they were able to share their resources, to pull those together so they could accomplish that great work. And Paul would carry that to Jerusalem for them, along with whoever they sent with him. It's in this assembly where we gather on the first day of the week and follow this. As we long to accomplish the work of the Lord, it's here where as this assembly grows and is larger and larger and more are learning more and more about sharing these resources and pulling this together, that we can accomplish that work of sending the gospel to foreign lands. It's in that that we can train up folks that we can send out to neighboring communities and foreign lands to spread the gospel. It's because of our shared resources that when we hear about earthquakes and tsunamis and floods that have impacted brethren the world over, that we're able to send that kind of help. It's because of the shared resources that sometimes the elders say, we need to meet with the men, come over here. And we've learned about this need and it's costly. We're going to be helping them because of these shared resources. We're able to do that. And that only gets better. And we can only do more as the assembly grows larger. As more people are added, the work can be accomplished more and more. But in the living room, we share our time for deeper personal discipleship. In the assembly, we share our resources, but it's in the living room where we share our time. Because let's face it, if you're going to be meeting throughout the week, it's going to take time. It's going to take a sacrifice of time. And as we spend that time, what we realize is we're not just sharing our time. What are we really sharing? We're sharing ourselves. It's in those living room relationships where we spend time drinking some coffee and talking about Scripture and praising God and encouraging one another. And you want to know what happens when we start spending that living room and kitchen time together? What that inevitably leads to is having to spend backyard time cutting grass together, cleaning out gutters together, sweeping off sidewalks together. It's because of those living room relationships that then we start spending hospital time together. As our family needs us there for support, or taking those nursing home visits to visit the extended family. And you know what that takes? That takes time. That's sharing ourselves. It's in the living room that we get outside of ourselves and put ourselves in someone else's lives. That's what happens in the living room. In the assembly, we share our resources for greater kingdom impact. In our living rooms, we share our time and ourselves for deeper personal discipleship. And in our living rooms, in our assemblies, we are inspired to go higher. When we gather here and we open up God's Word, it's a provocation and I hope a motivation and an inspiration to say, I'm going to do better. I'm going to go higher. I'm going to soar on wings like eagles with God through His grace because of the blood of His Son and His Holy Spirit. I'm going to grow. I'm going to reach for the stars. Even if I only ever get the moon, I'm going to go higher. And whether the message, as 1 Timothy 4 and verse 2 says, is one that reproves, rebukes, or exhorts, it's specifically designed to prompt us and motivate us and fire us up to say, This week it's going to change me. This week I'm going to go higher. I'm going to reach farther. I'm going to do more. I'm going to be better. And there's all these voices that are blending together in praise and in prayer and in song, encouraging us. I'm going to go higher. I'm going to do more. I'm going to be greater. God's working in me. God's working through me. God's working for me. This week is going to be wonderful. But in the living room, we're challenged to dig deeper. Because it's one thing to hear the message from God's word that reproves, rebukes, and exhorts, that inspires to move on and go higher. It's another thing to get to work on Monday and to make that commitment a reality. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? That's tough, isn't it? And it's in the living room where we get to meet face to face in vulnerable, intimate moments with other brothers and sisters in Christ who have been inspired as we have been inspired. Where they get to say, y'all know the question, right? How you doing at that? And it's in the living room where we get to share the struggles. And I'm having a real hard time with that lesson. Not sure I liked that lesson. In fact, after hearing that lesson, not sure I like Edwin. It's in the living room where we get to say, well, I'm doing well at this, but this part is giving me a hard time. I'm having a hard time with that. Yeah, we heard that message about love, and man, I'm struggling with that because I don't really like this person over here. I got to tell you, I think about that lesson that we had earlier in this year about husbands. Remember that lesson where like 60 to 80 men committed to soaring higher in our marriages? Remember that? And then Monday came. It's in the assembly where we're able to make that commitment. I'm going to soar higher. But it's in the living room where I get to say, I'm afraid one of my wings is broken this week, guys. It's in the living room where I get to look to another husband and say, I got to tell you, I know I'm the one who preached that lesson. But this week I'm really struggling with soaring that high. This week I'm tired of being the one who's Jesus. I'm tired of being the one who has to love first. I want Marita to love first sometimes. And it's in the living room where another husband can look at me and say, hey, I know how you feel, but aren't you glad Jesus didn't say that? And it's in the living room that I get to look back at him and say, I don't think I like you very much right now either. But it's in the living room where we get challenged to dig deeper, to make that application, to say that this inspiration that we're getting from God's word, it needs to be pushed down into the heart and flow out in the life. In the assembly, we're inspired to go higher. In the living room, we're challenged to go deeper. You see, it's not an either or. It's a both and. We need both. We need the opportunity to gather with the army, and we need the opportunity to remember the family. We need the opportunity to stand with one another in the presence of God, and we need the opportunity to sit with one another in the moments of life. We need the constant and continual and repeated opportunity to celebrate what God has done for all of us, and we need to see and witness what God is doing for each of us. We need to be able to share our resources for greater kingdom impact, and we need to be able to share our time and ourselves for deeper personal discipleship. We need to be inspired to go higher, and we need to be challenged to go deeper. It's not either or. It's both and. And so because of that, brothers and sisters, I am excited. We are working to make that a reality within this congregation. The fact is, though right now we are a congregation that is larger compared to some, but with the heart of a small congregation, as we continue to add more and more people, being able to carry that on is going to get tougher and tougher. And so because of that, our shepherds are leading us in a purposeful approach to maintaining the assembly relationship and helping develop living room relationships house to house. On August 16th in this assembly on Sunday morning, the shepherds and I will be making a presentation about our 2015-2016 year, about the theme of pursuing holiness, about different works and things that we're going to be doing throughout that year. A big part of that is going to be about driving home these house-to-house relationships, developing that so that we can have the assembly and the living room. On August 23rd, you're going to have the opportunity to volunteer, to sign up for a particular house-to-house meeting. At this time, we have enough leaders developed that we can have about 50% involvement. We're hoping by the end of the year that that number will be up to 80%. involvement. But on August 23rd, you're going to have the opportunity to say, put your name on the line and say, I'm going to be a part of one of those. They're going to be all over our community, different days, different nights, different times. And you'll be able to say, I'm going to be a part of this one. The first one is going to be in the fall. It's going to start the week of September 13th and go for 13 weeks. It'll be 12 sessions. We'll take Thanksgiving week off. But 12 sessions over 13 weeks will end December 6th. And then in the winter slash spring of 2016, we'll have another 12-week session. Then in the summer, another 10-week session. And so it'll go on, growing and growing as we have the assembly and the living room. I am super excited about it. I hope that you can be super excited about it. Here's what we need from you today. You know this connection card that we mention every week? Find that. Find it, pull it out of the program, pull it out of the songbook that you shoved it in as a marker, pull it out of your Bible, wherever you put that. Put your name on it. This is especially for our members. Put your name on it. If you need to give a change of address, you can write that on there, but you don't have to put your address. Put your name on there. Check that you're a member. And then on the back, under feedback and questions, let us know that you'd be interested in being a part of a living room relationship, that you'd be willing to make that commitment in the fall to being a part of that 13-week session from house to house. This is not signing up for a particular group. We're not going to throw these in a basket and start pulling people out and assign you to a group. This is just letting the shepherds know who are meeting this afternoon, who is interested and willing to be a part of that in this upcoming session, so we can do everything we can to plan that out properly. So make sure you do that. Drop that in the collection plate. If you're our guest, please fill that out. Please fill that out. Just let us know you were here so we can let you know how much we appreciate you being here. But for our members especially, we would really like for you today, put that on there. Let us know, would you be committed to being a part of that 13-week session in the fall from September 13th through December 6th? I'm excited, guys. Anybody else excited? All right. Y'all got to be ready for those kind of questions. I'm excited, guys. Anybody else excited? Okay, that's better. Good. All right. I hope so. The assembly and the living room, it's not either or, both and. Would you pull out your songbooks, please? If you're going to be using those this morning. Otherwise, it's going to be on the screen behind me. If you're going to be using the songbooks, it's song number 96, I Stand in Awe. What a great opportunity for us to stand in the presence of God, in awe of Him. We're going to bring glory to God right now. If we can help you enter Christ this morning, won't you do that right now as we stand and sing? You are beautiful beyond.